Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Zen and the Art of Saving the Planet by Thich Nhat Hanh presents a mindfulness-based response to the ecological crisis, linking the health of the Earth to the state of the human mind. Rather than treating climate change as only a technical or political problem, the book frames it as a crisis of perception, habit, and disconnection. Drawing on the author's long teaching tradition, it invites readers to cultivate calm, clarity, and compassion so that action arises from understanding instead of fear or anger. The message is both sobering and empowering. Meaningful change begins with the way we breathe, consume, speak, and relate to others. The book emphasizes interbeing, the insight that nothing exists separately, and uses that lens to rethink daily choices, community life, and collective activism. It offers a path for readers who want to help the planet without burning out, showing how inner peace and regenerative living can support each other. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the climate crisis. As a crisis of consciousness, a central idea is that environmental breakdown reflects a deeper imbalance in the human mind. The book argues that when societies run on constant striving, distraction, and separation, they naturally produce patterns of overconsumption and exploitation. From this perspective, the planet is not only harmed by emissions and waste, but also by the underlying mental energies that drive them: craving, fear, and the belief that happiness comes from having more. Mindfulness is presented as a practical method for seeing these forces clearly in everyday life. By learning to pause, breathe, and notice what is happening inside, readers can recognize how personal stress and collective systems reinforce each other. The book also reframes despair. Instead of being a dead end, painful emotions become signals that we care and that we are connected. When held with awareness, grief and anxiety can mature into determination and compassion. This topic encourages readers to view sustainability not as a checklist of behaviors, but as a shift in perception that makes healthier choices feel natural rather than forced. Secondly, interbeing and deep ecology in daily life. The book highlights interbeing, the insight that everything depends on everything else. This is not treated as a philosophical abstraction, but as a lived understanding that can reshape how people eat, travel, work, and relate to nature. When readers perceive the web of causes and conditions behind a meal, a product, or a convenience, ethical living becomes less about guilt and more about clarity. The book connects mindfulness to a deep ecological sensibility in which the boundary between self and world softens. Caring for the Earth is portrayed as caring for our own body and mind, because the same elements circulate through all beings. This view challenges the habit of treating nature as a resource bank and invites reverence for life as a community. The practical implication is a more regenerative orientation, choosing simplicity, reducing harm, and supporting systems that restore soil, water, and biodiversity. The topic also emphasizes gratitude and wonder, suggesting that sustained environmental commitment is strengthened by joy and connection rather than solely by alarm. Thirdly, mindful consumption and the roots of overconsumption. A major theme is that many environmental solutions fail when they ignore consumption driven by restlessness and insecurity. The book explores how modern life trains people to seek relief through buying, eating, scrolling, and constant stimulation, habits that intensify extraction and pollution. Mindful consumption is offered as an antidote that begins with simple awareness of what is being taken in through food, media, conversations, and shopping, and how those inputs shape consciousness and behavior. The book encourages readers to ask what they are truly hungry for: connection, safety, meaning, and belonging. When those needs are met in healthier ways, compulsive consumption loses its grip. This topic frames simplicity not as deprivation, but as liberation from craving and from the mental noise that craving produces. It also links personal choice with systemic impact, showing how demand patterns influence production and policy. By grounding lifestyle change in mindfulness rather than willpower alone, the book makes sustainable habits more realistic and less prone to rebound. Fourthly, engaged Buddhism and compassionate action without burnout. The book positions mindful living as inseparable from engaged action. Yet it cautions that activism fueled by anger or panic can exhaust individuals and fracture movements. Instead, it advocates a steadier energy rooted in compassion, nonviolence, and clear seeing. This approach does not deny urgency. It insists that urgency is best served by inner stability. Readers are encouraged to build a practice that supports long-term participation, breathing, walking, mindful communication, and community support. The book's broader teaching tradition emphasizes that peace is not postponed until after the crisis is solved. Peace is a method for solving the crisis. This topic also highlights the importance of collective practice. When people come together with shared intention and skillful speech, they can influence institutions while also caring for one another. The result is a model of activism that is both effective and humane. The book suggests that the quality of consciousness brought to meetings, protests, and negotiations matters because it shapes the outcomes and the kind of world being built. Lastly, regeneration as a spiritual and cultural transformation. Beyond reducing harm, the book points toward regeneration, restoring what has been damaged in ecosystems and in human relationships. It presents regeneration as cultural as well as ecological, transforming the stories societies tell about success, progress, and the purpose of life. Mindfulness becomes a way to interrupt inherited patterns and to plant new seeds in education, business, and governance. The book emphasizes that technology and policy are necessary but insufficient without a shift in values toward interdependence, care, and responsibility. Regeneration is also described as an inner process. As individuals learn to return to the present moment, heal stress, and cultivate understanding, they become less likely to replicate violence and extraction in subtle forms. This topic invites readers to see their daily presence as part of the solution. How we listen, how we speak, how we handle conflict, and how we treat our own bodies all contribute to the collective field. The book encourages hope grounded in practice, not optimism that ignores facts, but confidence that transformation is possible through sustained awareness and compassionate action. In conclusion, this book is well suited for readers who feel the weight of environmental news and want a grounded way to respond. It will speak to climate-concerned individuals, activists at risk of burnout, and anyone interested in integrating personal growth with ecological responsibility. It is also valuable for leaders, educators, and community builders seeking a calmer and more cohesive culture of action. The benefit to the reader's life is practical, and emotional mindfulness skills can reduce anxiety, clarify priorities, and turn vague worry into concrete, humane choices. By linking inner peace to outer responsibility, the book offers a path that supports both mental health and sustained engagement. Compared with many climate books that focus mainly on data, policy, or lifestyle tips, this one stands out by addressing the psychological and spiritual roots of the crisis and by offering practices that help readers stay steady over time. It does not ask readers to choose between contemplation and action, but shows how each strengthens the other. For buyers looking for a climate-oriented book that is also a guide to living well, it offers distinctive value and long-term usefulness. If you would like to support Thich Nhat Hanh, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.